Welcome to the Once Upon an Island podcast. Today, I am running solo. My name is Wesley, and I will be your host. I run this channel, and I have something that's been sitting in my brain ever since I watched The Rise of Skywalker, and I have something here that I just want to talk about, get it out there. It combines Star Wars, Survivor, and ourselves. So if you hear me talking a lot about Star Wars here at the first half or the beginning, I promise I'm connecting it to Survivor. So it will make sense. So just bear with me here. I do want to point out that I started this channel to combine two of my two favorite things, which is Survivor and storytelling. Since I am a filmmaker, I have another YouTube channel here. It's called Wooden Films. It's really just a place for me to post the films that I've made, these short films. And I have my longest film is on Amazon Prime. It's called The Greatest Short Film Ever. I'm only saying this so to prove that I have made films, not necessarily to promote myself. Whether you check them out or not, up to you. But if you want proof that I make films, there you go. So seeing this new Star Wars movie, the newest Star Wars movie, had me thinking about identity and how people are constantly learning about themselves and growing on Survivor. And what has me thinking about that is Rey in the sequel trilogy. Basically, her entire story over three movies is finding out who she is and why she's important and why she matters. Because I think in life, all of us are just wanting to, it's a battle for a lot of us to just accept who we are and why we're important and why we matter. And the reality is that a lot of us are not important, meaning a lot of us are not important in the grand scheme of like the world. Like, for example, Donald Trump, just throwing him out there is way important right now. Everyone's always talking about him. He's in the forefront of a lot of people's minds, whether it's good or bad. And he's what most people consider important, whereas your next door neighbor is probably not considered important to anyone outside of his group of friends or their family or their work associates. And the same goes for us. Now, some of us may be important. So if you're one of the few who are like, actually, I am important, or actually, my parents are important and that makes me important, that's great. But you're the exception to the rule. And I think it's something that we see in Star Wars, because Rey goes through The Force Awakens, the first movie. She's like, who am I? Because if she can find out who her parents are, who had abandoned her as a child, then she'll figure out who she is. Which I think is something we also see with adopted children, is even though they're adopted into a family and even though they have these parents, it's just because those parents are not their blood. They're like, I gotta meet my original parents. This doesn't go for all adopted kids, but for, I think, a lot of them. Just from my observations and conversations, I've noticed this. So it's like, if I can just find out who I came from, I'll figure out who I am as a person and what my identity is. And Rey is going through that in the trilogy. So in The Force Awakens, she has that question. The question is presented. There's no real strides made in answering it. So when we get to The Last Jedi, Kylo tells her he knows who her parents are. And when she's in the throne room with him, He actually asks her, who are your parents? I think you already know. And I'm not quoting him quote for quote, but if you rewatch the scene, you'll see he asks her, he doesn't tell her, he asks her, who are your parents? Who are you from? And she says they were nobody. And he agrees with her. He says they were filthy junk traders. You know, you're nobody, you're nothing, but not to me. And which really I thought was fascinating, and I know not everyone agrees with it, and so it's not really a debate about Star Wars and whether you like The Last Jedi or whether you like this at all. It's more just the conversation of identity and Kylo telling her and confirming what she already thinks, that you're nobody, you're nothing. But trying to give her identity by being like, but if you join me, you will be something. And I think it's something a lot of us seek, is like, who are we? Why are we here? What are we doing? And just like who we are as persons, like if I could just figure out who I am and what I'm supposed to be doing, and you know, then I'll be fulfilled. And I think it's what Rey was seeking. She's seeking fulfillment, and Kylo offered it to her. She made the right decision by not joining him, obviously. But I think it's something really powerful. And I really wish they had carried it over to The Rise of Skywalker, her like really accepting she's nobody, but despite being a nobody, she can still do great things. Because even if a lot of us are nobody, we can still do great things. It may not be on a large scale. It may not be Mark Zuckerberg scale, for example, but you know, we can still do great things even on a smaller scale. So in The Rise of Skywalker, they did a 180. They changed it. They said, no, Rey is a Palpatine. She is important. So, just kidding. She is actually super important. And she's one of like the three bloodlines in these movies that are important, which I didn't really care for the decision, but this isn't really a discussion about that decision. But I just want to like stick with the idea of like identity, because in Survivor, you see players all the time who are either struggling with their identity, figuring out who they are, and sometimes growing over the course of a season. It feels like every season we get like that one player who grows over the course of the season. Even you would think maybe just brand new seasons that would happen, but no, it's even in a returnee seasons, you see that like somebody's like from beginning to end, you see like, oh, they've actually changed as a person. I think the most recent example we have is in Island of the Idols with Karishma. You know, you see how she's struggling as a person, struggling with her identity is very much in like her race and in her religion and her marriage and all that. And she's really, it's really hurting her. And in the game, it seems like she doesn't feel understood. Whether it's her fault or not is not really a discussion. It's just more of where Karishma was internally. She's struggling with who she is. And it really came out this season on Survivor. I think a lot of people connected with that. And then other examples in Survivor of identity is people are experiencing tough times and then they come into Survivor and then they have to deal with these problems. And now they're on national television dealing with these problems. Like Elaine just had her mom die 3 months before she got on Island of the Idols, which is like so soon. And Adam Klein from Millennials versus Gen X, he's on Survivor and his mother, he literally does not know if his mother is going to die while he's out there or not. And I can't even imagine like the emotional stress that has to cause, because you're already playing this really intense game, but you know, you can't even like get away from the game and like have a moment to breathe. Like most players do, like get away from the game, go maybe take a seat, go take go sit down on the beach and like look at the water. Calming. I'm away from the game. I can like think for a second, get out of the craziness of all the talking. But Adam can't even have that for the most part, because when he gets away, he's just like, I wonder if my mom's dead. Like, obviously she couldn't have died yet because no one's come out and told me, which I think would happen if somebody, you know, if my mom died, I figured Survivor come tell me. But I mean, like, he doesn't know if she's getting better, if she's worse, if she, you know, how close is she? Because even when, if she dies, like they're not gonna tell her like that moment, because they're not gonna know that moment, and he's not gonna find out at the moment it happens. So she could be dead and he could be in the middle of playing the game, and like the kind of guilt you would feel from that. Just something I think we didn't really fully understand when we watched Millennials versus Gen X first time, or upon a rewatch and you have that in mind, you're like, wow, that's just, it's something really heavy to go through. But as I mentioned, even in returnee seasons, this comes up. And I think the most obvious examples would be in Cambodia with Spencer and with Cass. They both in Khai Gaon were at odds with each other. Cass was viewed as this huge villain, a real jerk, didn't care about people. Spencer actually also came across, I guess, like that in a way. Like he's very self-focused, not as a villain though. He's kind of the rootable underdog. But if you really think about Spencer and Khai Gaon, he was pretty self-focused. And then when they both come into Cambodia, Cass is like, well, I'm going to try to be nicer. I read this book about how to make friends. I forgot what the book's title is, but it's a really popular book. I'm sorry, guys. I haven't watched Cambodia in a few years. But she talks about how she's like, she really has made a concentrated effort on this, because coming out of season 28, you know, she realized like, even if I don't agree with what people's opinion is about me, that is still their opinion about me and I want to win the game. So I got to grow. Whereas Spencer seemed to have this arc over the whole season, even though he made the finale, he got zero votes. He has this arc over the season of like growing as a person. And like, for him, telling his girlfriend, I love you, is like a huge deal, which he didn't do until, the family visit. To most of us, that's like, why is that a big deal? Like every day I tell my wife I love her, but for him, that was a really big deal. So you really see like, who he's accepting, like who he is, growing as a person, really figuring out his identity during the game of Survivor. And I think now those are some big examples, probably the ones we remember the most. And another one I think that people remember, but is probably not the most prominent, is Vetus in Blood versus Water. He talked about he was always feeling overshadowed by Aris, his brother Aris. He won season 12 Panama. He's the perfect brother. He's the perfect son. He's perfect, perfect, perfect. And Vetus like went to jail and he's like not perfect. And he's into yoga, which of course isn't like considered, I don't know, normal, I guess. It's just not mainstream. It's hard to explain, but yoga wasn't always viewed the way it is today. Let's put it that way. Yoga wasn't always viewed as normal. There was a time when it was considered like satanic, maybe even. But anyways, so Vetus just talks about that, and he struggles to get out of the shadows of his brother Aris. And I think he actually does accomplish that in Blood vs. Water. He becomes a full-fledged person to us. He's not just Aris's brother. He's Vetus. Vetus is his own person. Vetus has an identity, and it's not Aris's brother. I mean, it is also Aris's brother, but that's not his main identity. Whereas if you look at someone like Rupert's wife, Laura, to us, coming out of that season, she's still Rupert's wife. She doesn't really do anything to like show, hey, I am more than just Rupert's wife. I'm Laura. But with Brad Culpepper's wife, Monica, you know, that's something also. That Blood versus Water season, I think, is actually probably the perfect example. I'm now realizing it as I'm saying it, of identity and learning who you are and like standing out from, you know, who you're with or who you're related to. Because Tyson's girlfriend, Rachel, at the time, girlfriend, Rachel, to me is just Tyson's girlfriend, Rachel. She didn't really stand out. But I think Monica, she was also in the game a lot longer, Monica was. And she really talked about it a lot. Like she's so used to just being Brad Culpepper's wife and doing what Brad Culpepper wants. She wants to do things for Monica. I know the joke is on our HAPA for Monica, but really that's like for her, that was like a huge deal because Brad was gone early in the season. And so here's Monica without Brad. And she's like, I got to learn who I am. And I'm Monica. I'm more than just Brad Culpepper's wife. As funny it is to joke about for Monica, I mean, for her, that was like, that's a huge deal. And once again, in Blood versus Water 2, which is a season where I don't think we have as much struggle for identity because everyone's on equal ground. They're all new. It's not like returnees that we know with people we don't know. You get that, though, with John Rocker's girlfriend, where she just is John Rocker's girlfriend. And that's really still all I remember her for. But John Rocker goes and she's like, I'm so tired of like, I like to support the guy, but like, he's really screwing me here with all of his antics and like his past. And it's just, and you see her struggle with that. And it's a shame she wasn't in the game longer just so we can like see her maybe grow past that and really succeed. But so anyways, I know this was like a short podcast. I want to thank you for listening. It was just something that was just in my head. I was really thinking about. Let me know in the comments what you think. What do you think about this theme of identity and how important it is and how I think us as people every day we deal with it? Like, who are we? You know, most of us don't have parents. Most of us don't have a lineage of importance. So it's like we have to form our own lineage or get out of the shadow of our parents. Because sometimes our parents have already formed a lineage, but we don't want to follow that. You know, some of us may have a drunk father or a mother who goes and cheats on their dad. And you were like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be that person that my parents were. So now I need to figure out who I am and what I want to do. So I just really want to put that out there. Let me know what you guys think in the comments. This is just an impromptu podcast. Don't expect this normally. I will be back later on here with a big Winners at War podcast in the next few weeks. But yeah, and we have Survivor Africa videos through January. So expect that. If you want to see those videos early, there are a few of them are already on Patreon. I'm actually, as I'm recording this, I'm almost done with Ethan Zahn's story video. It will be on Patreon not too long after I upload this to YouTube, I'm imagining. So check out that Patreon. Join it if you want. All money from that Patreon goes to making this channel better and having more time to make these videos and get away from doing side gigs to make money. So thank you all for listening, and I'll see you next time. Bye.